The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Speedway Show, an idea exchange empowering us to live well, live fully, and love deeply. And now, here's our host, Speedway.
And welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Speedway Show. Today we have an installation in our career profile series with our professional drummer, Eric Ballard, who is my guest today. So if you've ever wondered, what does it take to become a professional drummer? What are the challenges? What are the obstacles? How do you get noticed by the right people? Does one good gig mean you've made it? We're going to find out together today because the inquiring minds want to know. And to help answer all of those questions is my guest, Eric Ballard. Eric, welcome to the Speedway Show.
Thank you for having me.
So we're going to start by sampling some of Eric's music. Now, remember that Eric is a drummer, so I'm going to play this next clip, and then, Eric, I'm going to ask you about it. But, listeners, I want you to get a taste for Eric's work, and we're going to play our first clip of the show. Take a listen.
Titled "Send It In." It's with the main group I play for, an artist by the name of Bernard Allison. The name of the whole package is the Bernard Allison Group. We recorded that live actually in Freiburg, Germany. I believe in 2011, and it's just one of the instrumental tracks on there.
And weren't you in Germany just recently again?
Yes, I was just in Germany. We have a German tour that goes on every January for like a month long, touring all throughout Germany, pretty much everywhere, from north to south, east and west. We're all over the place for about at least a month, 4 weeks. So,
wow. How long have you been doing that?
I've been with this artist, Bernard, for about 5 years now. And, done a lot of traveling with this, playing the blues music, blues rock, funk type music.
Well, you know, you and I met at the Dakota Jazz Club here in Minneapolis because you were playing for Alexander O'Neill that day.
Right.
And we got to talking, and I was like, wow, now that is some talent. And he's cute. But, you know, the thing that I really wondered about you and your profession is, how do you get to the point where you are now a professional drummer? At what point did you decide in your life that this is what you wanted to do professionally?
Well, for me, I knew it at a very young age. I knew once I started playing drums when I was about 3 years old, 3-4 years old.
Wow.
And I knew I wanted to play professionally. And just over the years, I've just worked very hard, you know, to pretty much get to where I am now, and, you know, still never comfortable. I still want to reach the higher heights. But, you know, just working hard, following all my heroes in the music industry, and, you know, just, you know, trying to be me and bring, you know, something different to the table, and, you know, just trying to make it to the top level here.
So now, how did your parents feel about you wanting to be a drummer? Because, you know, when I think about kids, boys in particular, seems like every little boy that I ever knew had a drum set at one point in their life, and they made a whole lot of noise in the house.
Yeah.
But it never amounted to, you know, for most kids, it doesn't go anywhere. So at what point did your parents go from, he's got a drum set, he's playing, to, oh, I do believe this boy is serious?
Well, like, my family is very musically inclined, more on the vocal side. I'm the first instrumentalist to come out, you know, and, you know, pretty much so far my family to make it, you know, to this big of a level that I'm at. But, you know, in my younger days, my dad he's pretty much a big music buyer. You know, he has so many vinyls, CDs. He has even a bunch of reel-to-reel stuff, you know, old school 8-track stuff. You know, my dad he just always buys stuff. My family, too, was all, you know, very heavily active in church, so I always had to, like, go to, like, choir rehearsals and, you know, my parents sing and stuff, so. Just a bunch of that, and just being around music and, you know, and always having to go to church functions, and, you know, it's just like the thing that I just always gravitated to was the drums, and I just, you know, just really took a liking to them, and I knew that that was something I wanted to be in. You know, the first, you know, concert I ever went to, it was just like, oh my goodness, I want to play drums. I want to be on a big stage like that, so...
What kind of practice has it taken over the years to get to the point where you're just, you know, you're not tootling around in your basement and you're actually a viable drummer with professional groups?
Well, you know, for me, church was really my setting for grooming me as to be a nice, rounded musician. You know, there, you know, my church, it's in Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in St. Paul, you know, they want the music, the minister of music there, Stephen Daniels, he always wanted the music to be very tight and very, you know, pretty much how it was on the record. He wanted that perfection there. And, you know, with just how I was growing up, you know, it's just like, you know, wanting to give God your best. You know, and that's what we wanted to do with our little crew that we had at the church. You know, we wanted to give God our best and just, you know, try to mimic what we were hearing on the records. So I think that groomed me to, you know, just shape me out to, you know, become a well-rounded, nice, solid drummer.
Well, you know, one of the things that is a foundation for this show is what I like to call the life manual, because it really is a manual for how you're supposed to live your life, what not to do, what to do if you get, you know, stuck in the ditch and you run your life off the road. And I call it life manual because different people use different ones, right? So for some, I'm guessing if you go to Shiloh, your life manual is probably a Bible, isn't it?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And so is that where your career began in the church?
Yes, yeah, totally began in a church. And, you know, I still, when I'm in town, I, you know, even when I'm out of town, I miss playing at church. And, you know, when I get back in town, you know, I let them know first thing, hey, I'm back at home. I want to play at church. So, yeah.
Well, now, see, I'm a lawyer by profession. And in the United States, you need a Juris Doctorate to become a lawyer in addition to your college degree. But at college level, you can major in anything you want, and there's no requirement that, you know, you major in anything in particular. Is there any, are there any requirements for being a drummer that you had to fulfill beyond just being incredibly good and practicing?
That, you know, it's just pretty much, you know, to be like a good working musician. I find you just have to have, you know, pretty much have a great personality on and off stage. You know, there's such things as, you know, showing up for things on time, being well prepared for, being well prepared for rehearsals. As far as schooling, no, not really. You know, everybody's not like, hey, let me see your degree. You know, do you have a, you know, degree in drumming and stuff? Because otherwise you can't play here. As long as, you know, you can respect what kind of gig it is and come play in the gig respectably for the music that is being presented and do all the necessary things such as, yeah, show up on time and, you know, get along with, not have a huge ego and get along with, you know, all the bandmates, you know, everything happened, you know. And of course for me, you know, I just, you know, praying to God, you know, to always open doors and keep things moving forward for me, and things just happen, you know. And I know that things, you know, even me playing with like Alexander O'Neill, which was a great opportunity, you know, and I took that very dear to heart, you know, because, you know, in his way, he's a legend. And you know, I just, you know, God, I think, you know, God just granted me that opportunity to play with him.
Well, let's talk about how that opportunity came about. So you live here in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, right?
Yep.
And as I understood it, when Alex was at the Dakota Club, this was part of a tour that he was on, and he was going to different places, and this was one of his stops. So how do you get a gig like that?
Pretty much how I got that gig is I'm friends with the bass player. Me and him actually play in another band here in the city called the R Factor. We play together pretty often every weekend. And pretty much, you know, he has taken a liking to my playing. And, you know, again, you know, he really loves my personality on and off the drums. And so, you know, just, you know, pretty much insane. Yeah, you pretty much get kids kind of, you're just building friendships and relationships and just being a wonderful player on your instrument. If, you know, that's pretty much basically it.
So he was really the one who hooked you into that particular gig?
Just came and asked me, hey man, you wanna play this gig with Alexander O'Neill? You know, you're in town on this date? I'm like, yeah.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it all worked out good, you know, for me to do it. So
when artists like that travel, do many of them have their own people that they travel with, or is it pretty common for a big name musician like that to pick people up in the cities that he goes to?
Most bands and artists today, I find, do travel around with their own crew, band and crew. you know, there's some instances, you know, where just financially it doesn't make sense to, you know, bring along the band or bring along the whole band.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, some artists will, you know, especially like big artists, you know, kind of like that, will, you know, just get to a city and, you know somebody there or somebody make a phone call, you know, hey, you know, get a good band together for me and they'll make, you know, the show happen. So it just depends on the situation.
Okay. So really it sounds like then in your career, you've got gigs that you do off the cuff, like the one with Alex O'Neill, but then every year you've got this standing obligation for your German tour. So do you have that relationship with that one band, or do you have a couple of those, or how do you mix it up?
My career is pretty much right now is based, my main band that I play for is a band called the Bernard Allison Group, which is from the recording we heard earlier. That band, you know, we also do a lot of touring here around the States and stuff too. So we get started here this year in April, actually. April we start touring here in the States, in various cities. I know, like, later on in, like, July, I think we head to France for about a week. And, you know, we spend times and stuff overseas and stuff. So I think later on this fall we'll probably be going back over, you know, to do, like, Switzerland and Italy, France, and stuff like that. Then another band I play with when I'm at home a lot is the band called the R Factor. They do a lot of corporate events and weddings. They pretty much do a lot of, like, cover tunes. It's a cover band, and they do anything from big band swing stuff to, you know, currently stuff we're playing is like Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars. So anything in between there, from country to rock to everything. So
okay, it just depends on what they're requested to play.
Yeah, that particular band. And then any other bands pretty much in between there. If I have time to play, you know, if I have a hole open in my schedule and, you know, somebody needs a drummer, most cases I'm there, if it makes sense financially.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, do you have personally a particular favorite kind of music? Because what I've noticed is that musicians tend to just love music, and you have, you know, different
right.
combinations of people who come together. Like, you know, when I tell people that when Whitney Houston did "I Will Always Love You," the original was actually a country song that was done by Dolly Parton. Yeah, a lot
right.
of people don't know that. And or when, you know, Puff Daddy got together with Sting, and they did that, you know, new rendition, "I'll Be Missing You," which was "Every Breath You Take." Or
right,
when you
right.
hear Alicia Keys doing songs in A minor, and she's taking classical music.
Right,
so
right.
it just seems like, you know, musicians don't really get pigeonholed into a certain kind of music. And I wonder, when I hear you talk, especially when I listen to the work that you did for Alexander O'Neill,
mm-hmm.
contrast it to the work that you do for Bernard Allison, I'm thinking, wow,
yeah.
this guy just, you know, he's very versatile. But do you
mm-hmm.
have a favorite kind of music that you say, this is what really gets me going?
I mean, my favorite, you know, genre of music is, you know, since I've grown up with it, and, you know, I just love, it's just, you know, just the message that it all has with it, it's gospel music. That's
mm-hmm.
my, you know, diehard favorite kind of music to listen to and play.
Yeah.
But then, you know, outside of that, I don't have a favorite genre of music. You know, I love every genre of music. I love just listening, you know, I love when people send me, like, new stuff or, you know, or open my ears to new bands or artists that, you know, because, yeah, I don't go out and listen to everything, but, you know, it's, like, mind-blowing, you know. I know when I was, like, over in Germany, you know, this guy came and brought me, you know, some African artists and some some other like German artist bands and stuff, and you know, it was some mind blowing stuff for me, and I, you know, totally just love it. So I'm just open to every genre of music. You know, I'm never be closed minded with any genre of music, or country, or whatever the case it is. I love it all.
So when you go and you play with somebody like an Alex O'Neill who comes into town and you are recruited to be his drummer for the time that he's in town, do you as a group then get to rehearse together, or do you get a track of some kind that you rehearse to beforehand?
Well, with Alex, it worked out to we had a few rehearsals. I just got a CD from the musical director, and you know, he just said, "Hey, learn the songs." So learn the songs. We had a couple rehearsals with the band. The crazy part for me is, Alexander only came in to one rehearsal, and he was there for maybe about 45 minutes. You know, it was real quick, just in and out, you know, just made sure, you know, hey, told the keyboard players, hey, you know, you guys, you know, change this up, you know, or do this, I like this, I don't like that, you know, background singers, you know, you guys do this, you know, work on this, cool. The day, you know, that first time I saw him, next time I saw him was at the show on stage. I didn't even see him at sound check or anything, you know, it was just okay.
And
just play the show.
The thing that I remember being so impressed by was that there were parts in the show where he would point to the different, either the backup singers or he might point to you. And every time he pointed, there was I forget what the song was, but he pointed to you and it was kind of like your feature. And you nailed it. And I remember thinking, wow, I wonder how long it took them to rehearse that. And that was just the second time you saw the man?
Yeah. You know, that just comes with, you know, just being groomed with every gig to gig. You know, I think maybe I think God just planned it out right, you know, that, hey, all right, you're ready to do a gig like this. Because, you know, I bet probably if this would have been maybe about 5 to 10 years ago, you know, I may not have been such a strong player, or my mind wouldn't have been, you know, just all right to, you know, do a gig like this. So, you know, God just planned it out right to, hey, all right, you're ready, you're physically able, you're mentally ready, you know that I'll be able to focus and get the job done and go out there and make the artists happy and of course, all the listeners happy and the band and me.
So your faith then is more than just, I go to church, I come home.
Right.
Bible over here.
No.
Sounds like you have a real relationship.
Oh, yeah. Got to have the relationship with God.
Well, you know, we talk a lot on this show about relationships. And one of the things that I would guess, and you know, what you're saying resonates with me, because even with this show, when people ask me, so, you know, what was it that got you doing the show, I always say, you know, I really, in truth, I didn't wake up one day and think, hey, you know, wouldn't it be fun to have a blog show?
Right.
I always knew that my destiny involved doing something like this. I wasn't sure what it was, but in my heart, I just knew there was something I was supposed to do. And so, you know, it was, I think God gave me the gifts to be able to do it. And it takes me probably less time to prepare and get it done than it would somebody else.
Right.
I get what you're saying about, you know, when you are ready, then it's like God just orchestrates that opportunity for you and you just walk right into it. And it's nothing
that,
you know, your job is to do your best and your job is to show up and do all the things you prepared. But you don't personally control the fact that Alex was coming into town and he happened to know your buddy who happened to then get you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
There's a fair amount of faith that you just say, okay, God, bring me the opportunity and I'll be ready.
Yes. That's it. A lot of hard work, you know. And, you know, I tell, you know, all these other young players and musicians, you know, and even older people, you know, that hasn't made it to, you know, at least the little level that I'm at. I don't think I've made it to any big level at all. But, you know,
you're only playing with Alexander Hill and a band and consistent. But anyway.
Yeah, but, you know, you can get to where I am, you know. Of course, I'm trying to get to other levels, too, where all my heroes are, you know, playing, you know, in arenas and stuff, you know. But, you know, it just takes, you know, just a lot of hard work and focus. And, you know, and determination, dedication, and, you know, things will slowly just fall into your lap. And you know, it's, you know, it'll just be like, okay, this is awesome.
And so do you have to do a lot of relationship building, I would guess, right?
You know, it's just it's having friends, you know, in all kind of areas. You know, of course, yeah, getting along, you know, I want to leave a gig, you know, and have all my coworkers, you know, being like, man, that Eric is such a great guy to be around. And, you know, on top of, you know, of course, being a great player, you know, they know you can play. So that's why they asked you, you know, whoever asked you to be in the band. But, you know, it's like when you're on tour and stuff, you know, it's like you want everybody to always just, you know, be like, hey, great, you know, it's great to be around Eric, you know, and, you know, likewise with other bandmates. But, you know,
it's
just... You want
to be easy to work with, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't want people to say, well, you know, he's a really good drummer, but boy, he is high maintenance.
Right, yeah, very much. You will not get called back. That precedes you, you know. I know other musicians here in the cities that, you know, are great musicians, and, you know, just, you know, like to tell, you know, small tales, you know, that aren't necessarily true, you know, just like the Ben stuff. So, you know, and that goes out a long ways. And so, you know, when you meet up with other musicians and they're like, hey, you know, yeah, you talk to this musician or that musician, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, okay. Yeah, what is he or she lying about today? You know? But, just be great at your craft. And like I said, just have a great personality on and off your instrument.
Yeah.
Everything will be great.
Well, that is the perfect conclusion, because I would have asked you if you had any parting words, and you just walked right into that one. So thank you for
Wonderful.
That.
And
so this takes us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for joining me, Eric.
Oh, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
So now, if people, you know, listeners, if you are looking for a drummer, or you heard Eric say he plays with the R Factor, which is it the R Factor? Did I get that right?
Yes, the R Factor, Yep,
which is a band that does events. And so visit www.thespeedwayshow.com and go to this particular episode. It's our career profile for drummer Eric Ballard. And you will be able to get a link to his Facebook page as well as an email address if you want to contact him. And Eric, you know, continued success. And what we're going to go out with is we're going to go out with another of your clips, and this one is called Groove With Me. Was this also with, did you do this with the Bernard Allison group also?
Yes, this is also another Bernard Allison track, yep, that we did live, recorded live.
All right, well, listeners, here we go with our last clip.
My name is Allison. Some people think it should be fun. them don't have a clue. I don't care what the blues got to say. Keep on making it funky. It's all the blues anyway. Groove with me. Come and groove with me. The funky music, groove with me. Come and groove with me. Here we go, y'all.
Thank you for joining us on the Speedway Show. Visit thespeedwayshow.com for content and other episodes. Join the fan page at facebook.com/thespeedwayshow. And follow Speedway on Twitter at the handle The Speedway Show. Until next week, live well, live fully, and love deeply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.